The order, the budget hearing for the fiscal year 2018 Newcastle County budget. Today we are going to review the Department of Land Use's budget. Before we begin the agenda, I'd like to identify the folks that are at the table with us, members of council. Councilman Hollins is here, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Council President Hartley Nagel, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett. I have some excused absences.
I'm Dylan, not Kilpatrick.
Oh, yes. Duly noted.
Thank you.
Are you sure?
I'm still coming down from the jelly bean high Easter season now. Member Diller, the members that won't be here are Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Powers, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Woods, and Councilman Smiley. Moving on to the agenda, we won't have it at quorum, so we won't be able to approve the minutes for the executive row offices and county auditor budgets minutes from the previous budget hearing. So today we're going to review the Department of Land Use's budget, and I see Rich Hall, the general manager, is here. You're welcome to come to the table. I understand there's also going to be a PowerPoint presented, which would be a very novel approach to a budget. Which is fine. So go ahead, identify yourself. And before we begin, I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting, and my aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the minutes. Mr. Hall, you have
the floor. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the council. For the record, my name is Richard Hall, and I'm general manager for the Department of Land Use. I have a PowerPoint for you. We'll keep it brief. But just to hit some highlights, a couple details, but mostly highlights. You certainly have the budget books in front of you. We can get into those as well. As you can probably see, I am ringed mostly. That's a good way to be, ringed by many of my senior staff. I think many of them are familiar to you. So I'm glad that you have them here. They're the ones that are making all of this work, along with those that they supervise. And it's been a good 3 months. We're just at the 100 days mark, as I think you all know, just a little over 100 days. And enjoyed my time here and looking forward to working beyond now this sort of transition period and getting a few things done and really getting moving. And certainly one of the big parts of that is my first budget review with council here. So like I said, I'll keep this brief, but I just want to highlight a few things here. Our mission. Mission's pretty standard for a department such as mine, but I'm not going to read it all to you, but a lot of this is quality life, looking to the future, integrating a number of issues with stakeholders, consensus building, protection of neighborhoods, revitalization of our commercial corridors and frankly neighborhoods as well. There we go. So, put more in very blunt terms, this is what we do. Record plans, so we create property rights there essentially from a parcel of land, for example. Then building permits, so that's what you're able to build that comes from the record plan. And then inspections, so that's the right to use the building that's been built. And then lastly, their property maintenance. So that's code enforcement and a number of other enforcement and community engagement aspects of the department. So that's really, at its boiled down to its core, is what the department focuses on. I'm going to talk about some things we want to add to that in just a minute. With our expenditures, the numbers have been relatively consistent across here and across this time period. And of this bar here, you can see that again, we're very close to last year. We're looking at just over 1% increase from last year. And then within that bar there, 82% of that bar is personnel related, salaries, benefits. Getting to revenue, we be relatively consistent with our revenue as well. As you can see from these bars, we had an uptick in the current fiscal year from a couple of large projects, Christiana Hospital being one, Insight being another. So while we're generally optimistic, we don't necessarily expect things quite that big coming in the new fiscal year, in fiscal 18, which is why we're showing this small decrease in the projected revenues. This is how we spend the money, how it's divided up across the department, the two different views there. And you can see the point I made earlier about the personnel costs in that lower right-hand side. Oops. Wow. Gave you a little preview there unexpectedly. Sorry about that. All right. Okay, moving forward. Just want to highlight, building on those four bullets before related to our mission and what we primarily focus on in the department, some of the direction we want to augment, add to the department, some of which the department did more of in the past, is focusing on comprehensive planning, looking at the broader longer-term planning issues, in addition to the work we already do, which is more focused day-to-day in development review and permitting type activities and code. We also want to look longer term. This issue came through over and over again. I've heard it from many of you in passing and other forums as well. Came through very clear and loudly in the transition report. I've heard it a good bit since I've been here for just over 100 days. Linking to that is better analysis, research of trends, growth trends. My department has a lot of good data and information. I don't think we've always done a very good job bundling in that, telling the story, what's going on. I don't mean making up stories, but telling the story. What are these growth trends tell us? Good, bad, and indifferent. Where are we growing? How are we growing? How does it compare to peer jurisdictions? What does that mean for our future? What have you? We have not done a good job in that in the past, and we're working to do more of that. And that should better inform policy and other decisions going forward and recommendations. Related to that is improved communications and outreach. We certainly do that now, but we want to improve that and have that informed by the better information that I just mentioned to all our stakeholders, whether elected officials, you all in council, the development community, citizens, what have you. We really want to focus on the link to transportation, economic development, and planning in general. We all hear about a lot of development disputes, controversies, what have you, and they occur project by project, and it's almost when we try to deal with one, there's another one right down the road, so to speak. And I'm not saying we're going to make that go away, but I think to try to better address this, I don't want to say fix the problem, better address it, we need to look at how the system's working overall, so we can come up with better approaches to be able to work on this better going forward. Second to last bullet there, single point of entry. What we're trying to do is literally get on the same page with a very important agency. Work with DLDOT. It's highly integrated in our development review activity, obviously. And the plan review system will help us do that, as well as working with special services and others that we jointly do plans with. So we've been accelerating our conversations with DLDOT to really increase the coordination. And you know, one thing about the word coordination, it can be a very light kind of word and doesn't mean a whole lot. Sometimes coordination means we're not fighting, but we need a very active, engaged coordination, the heavier meaning of that word. And so that's what we're working on with DLDOT especially and others. And then lastly on this slide here is focusing on a few other issues, including vacant properties. We'll be coming to brief the community services subcommittee next week on where we're going on that. But that's an important issue that has grown, and we're looking to building on the inventory and linking that to other housing issues, coordinating with community services and the county. So one way to paraphrase that, and it is the season, is we want to be a department that's just not playing catcher. We want to play a little bit of pitcher as well. And what I mean by that, the analogy, is that we want to look forward, have a more proactive planning, strategic approach going forward that can well mesh up with a lot of the work we currently do now. So wanted to highlight a couple of the good trends that we have. One is review time. And this slide is showing you days of recordation, and it's showing you the trends over the last few years. And what you can see is the different types of development review broken down and how that's gotten shorter over time. What I want to show from this slide is the change in share and also total number, but change in share of housing type. So you can see over the last 3 years, the stacked bar showing you each year the different types of housing types that we've had. One of the things is that you can see the gray there, single family dwelling units. They've been pretty constant, especially the last couple of years. But what's growing is certainly the apartments. Townhouses have picked up since 14. And the main reason I'm showing this is I know that on how many units we're getting is always of interest generally. But also, I think it's important to start looking at a little bit of the mix there. And this is characteristic of a maturing suburban jurisdiction, and I think in many ways what Newcastle County is. Every jurisdiction, every local government is very unique, but there's some trends you can certainly see from other similar counties across, especially the Mid-Atlantic, nationally to a degree, but certainly the Mid-Atlantic area. And so I think that's something to think about going forward. The market, we'll certainly have market for single family detached residential dwelling units for sure going forward, especially below the canal, but something for us to think about going forward, especially in the more dense urbanized parts of the county. And this is not news to you all, but you know, we're going to see more and more infill redevelopment of properties, commercial and residential. And I'm going to probably likely see a higher share over the long term. It'll fluctuate month to month, year to year for sure, of attached and attached townhouses and other types of structures, but also apartments going forward. This is really a fast-tracking effort that has been working, and we're trying to promote it more. We call it intentional plans. Essentially what it is can think of as hyper coordination, but it's really sitting down not just with the representative of the developer, the engineering firm, or what have you, really sitting down with the owner, getting the whole team together, their team, our team, and saying, what are we committing to for turnaround times on different phases of development review? So something doesn't come to us, we get back to usually the engineering firm, it sits there for a while, or it's unclear whose ball the court is in, and then the clock keeps ticking. And you can see on this slide here, this bar chart, how we've brought the turnaround times for recordation down significantly with this. And so what we'd like to do is, we've been reaching out more to the development community about the successes with this so far, and we want to reach out to them more so we can make more use of it, so more of the development projects can experience this type of turnaround. I've never been around a local government, and I don't mean to make light of this, but I've never been around a local government when anyone in the development community said their project got approved too fast. So we're not looking to reach one day necessarily. We have to do our job, and they have to do their job for sure. But certainly we've heard it that our development times can take, review times can take too long. I think it depends who you compare it to. But we take it seriously, and we're working on it and seeing successes, and we're trying to, again, share this with our friends in the development community so we can make this more widespread. The Unified Development Code, as you all very well know, working with you. Phase one got completed, and executive signed it at the end of January. What we want to do is move, and the phasing numbers are put there not purposely to confuse people, but it's the way even last fall was talked about, is moving to phase three before we move to phase two. And there seems to be pretty broad acceptance at the conceptual stage, I would say, with many of the items in phase two. We need to work with the stakeholders more, including county council, obviously, on more specifics of where we want to go with that and come up with a package of draft ordinances. I'm not going to articulate a time frame at the moment. We're looking across several months to start zeroing in on what aspect of the phase two and some related efforts that weren't contemplated in phase three there, and some other issues that weren't necessarily contemplated that we might want to do together related to streamlining, related to economic development kind of issues. So we want to work with council and stakeholders, try to zero in on what specific actions we want to work with you on for moving forward on the Unified Development Code. I want to mention briefly progress on the E-Plans effort to make our development review and permits and other aspects of the department digital. It's been moving along well. It's been successful to date. We've been working on it, I think, right around a year so far. It's been a very concerted effort of the department, and we are looking to finish this, have it fully implemented by the end of the calendar year. We're very close to that point now, but we just want to make sure that working with all our stakeholders, and we get this in place, get people used to it, get our systems working. But it's moved along well, and like I said, you can see some of the parameters here for how many reviews we've gone through so far through this system, and we want it to be fully operational by the end of the calendar year. Customer focus, that's always very important, and we're continuing to come up with better ways to engage the public, with whether it's going out and meeting with specific stakeholder groups, business community included, on how to get through our system, what we're looking for, what makes things move more smoothly, working with community groups, what have you. As you all know, we deal with people, they're getting a permit for their shed, large development projects, community associations, a wide range of people. We try to work very hard to communicate with them, follow up, and to bring things to them for their information, and we will continue to improve that. Another area I want to briefly mention, and this is important, and this is related to flooding type issues, sea level rise kind of issues, but at the top there, improving our rating with the community rating system from FEMA, having to do with basically it's an incentive type approach that FEMA's had in place for a few decades that simply suggests or simply tries to encourage the better protection program you have, the better floodplain protection program you have, the better your flood insurance rates will be in your jurisdiction. And the other thing I want to highlight there is also for the ISO insurance rates, working with them and that they review the department and how we're performing in certain areas. So it again, there's a sort of a incentive approach to have good programs that support the type of actions we're taking. And then the last item there is one, a report that came out recently for the Port Penn area, working with the state on one of the more susceptible areas in the county to sea level rise and obviously flooding. Certainly, blight, like I said, we're going to come back and brief the Community Services Committee on the 25th. But we've been working on a draft ordinance for the registry, adding that the county government can add properties to the vacant registry. And this is one piece of a much bigger, important effort on part of the county to manage, remove blight, cost recovery, trying to better improve the county's ability and cost recovery, because when there's blighted and abandoned properties, we have to maintain them. We can put liens on properties, but being able to have a blighted property registered, vacant property registered, excuse me, puts us in a better position to do that. We're also linking this to efforts to bills in the General Assembly and other efforts with our partner, our sister agency, Community Services. So this has been a good project to work on. It's been making progress, and we'll give you more detail on that next week. Coming into the home stretch here, strengthening communities relates to what I just said before, and with the code enforcement working with Community Services, really trying to make sure to maintaining, you know, quality, vibrant communities, and when we have issues, trying to make sure that our code section is responsive to that, and trying to maintain our code enforcement effort there, whether it's registering vacant properties or other code infractions. Other thing is important, some of you are, I'm sure, familiar with, is some of the corridor plans we've done in conjunction with Will Hapco. I would characterize these as more focused planning type efforts for some key areas across the county. I just highlighting a couple to save time. This is Route 9. This is just come out from Will Hapco for comment. I think there's probably about 3 weeks left in the comment period. And this is one of the more, I guess you could say, more elaborate corridor plans. And as you all know, there's a number of activities of interest going on along the Route 9 corridor. It's not only transportation issues, but certainly it's community development issues. It's the library that's been talked about for quite some time, at Innovation Center. And so we see this as an area that focus on a number of efforts related to good planning, community development, and vibrant communities, which includes some of the code kind of issues as well, and certainly other departments such as Community Services have been very involved on this corridor as well. And it's also an opportunity to coordinate with the City of Wilmington. I think when it comes to county city coordination issues, and this is just a generic statement, there's always a million things you can coordinate with people on, but if you have something specific like a corridor, or a corridor can be a river or a road, in my experience it tends to be rivers or roads that are at least a starting point for concerted engagement between a county and its city quite often. I'd like to mention one other corridor plan that's familiar to you all, is the Claymont, Northern Claymont Area Master Plan. That's quite an aggressive plan there, but it's a huge opportunity, and bringing an opportunity to reality is, I wish I had a magic wand, but that's something we'll probably be talking about for a long time to come, but it's very exciting, a lot of opportunities there. Then let's finish up a couple slides. In 2016, more than $15 million in private funds were invested in site development. We know this from our permitting, and that represented $180 million in building permit valuation, excuse me. And so this is not a economic impact, fiscal impact. That would certainly be interesting information to have, but this is showing you, direct relationship between what we're engaging in, and this is a non-residential, so this is commercial, and what those buildings are worth, directly worth. What this is worth, again, you could get a consultant to come up with a wide range of numbers of what that $180 million is worth from a fiscal impact and community and economic impact perspective, but we're just telling you the numbers as we have them. And then we have the residential side here, $40 million in site development work, and more broadly, $140 million in building permit valuation. Last slide. So just to sum up here, is a slight increase from last year in our budget requests and the executive's budget. We're planning increased information communication with all our stakeholders, working to address important issues, and building a planning function to better prepare the county for a vibrant future with a high quality life. Thank you.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just a real quick question. You didn't really touch touch upon the fact that you're going to be decreasing a position in your administration and increasing a position in the divisions. Is that just...
Could you increase in the
in your budget book? You're from your 17 to 18, you're decreasing a position in administration, and you're increasing a position in licensing, I mean, not division, so I'm sorry. And is that position reflected in your current funded vacant positions?
Well, we have currently 12 vacant positions.
Yep.
We have a couple more that we know are coming very soon, four more actually. And we've gotten one position approved for a basically a comprehensive planner. That's it's just last week. And then we are hoping to get a few more out the door soon. So,
but I guess you feel a need to increase a position in your licensing?
I think a new position, Georgia.
It is a position.
Please stand up and identify yourself. For
retired assistant GM. It was a position that was we moved into administration for a period of time and we actually have licenses. It's actually working with engineering on the open space turnovers to become.
Oh, so just moving back over?
Just moving the position around as well.
Oh, on it, okay. All right. And do your, is your vision this year hopes of filling these 12 positions that you're funding?
I would like to fill all of them. As you know, the county executive put in a hiring freeze very early on, and I think we're all trying to figure out what are essential positions, what we should be funded, what priorities for my funding, and what I can get permission from the executive to fill. So that's our game plan. To be honest with you, I doubt I'll fill all of them, but we want to try to fill the essential ones out as well.
And last thing, I only mention this because Brian's here as well as Ed, but I was kind of shocked a little bit when I went back to find out that last year the General Assembly approved legislation that allowed us to intercept tax refunds for delinquent tax bills, being either school or property taxes, and I was a little bit surprised that we found out now that actually that wasn't able to happen because you need Social Security numbers in order to be able to do that, and it was a little component of that legislation I guess nobody envisioned that we were going to need, I don't know, but it just because it's land use and we do the approving it of the parcels in the, you know, the, out there that actually these taxes go on, but we thought that was going to be something that was going to be able to help us, especially with school taxes, something, but it was actually didn't turn out to be what it was supposed to be, so I don't know if that'll get revisited or what.
Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. We did meet with Representative Short shortly after coming into office to discuss the tax intercept program. And currently, we are not, you know, taking in Social Security numbers from all taxpayers, but it's something we're looking to institute. Actually, Sussex County is collecting their Social Security numbers currently, and they're doing as like a trial to see how effective the intercept program is, because not only accept, you know, getting the Social Security number is important, but also where we rank as far as who gets paid first with regards to delinquencies. So the state would actually get paid first on a number of different accounts, whether it's court fees or child support, so on and so forth. So it'll be a good idea of how effective it is, and I'll be more than happy to share that information with council.
And one last thing on your slides, great presentation, thank you very much. I received an email this morning from Paul Morrill of the Committee 100, which I'll forward on to you all in a few minutes, but he seems to think that Sussex is doing a little better job down there with TIDs than we are doing up here, and I did read the article briefly, and it was a little bit, you know, pretty impressive. So
yeah, I'm glad you asked that, and he was kind enough to share that with me as well.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, and if we really want to look at that as one approach, one option for dealing with this tough and understandably so level of service issue we have with projects that come through, and we are trying to look at that and other options. We think the state seems to, I was at a meeting last week where a number of people, including the secretary from DLDOT, where they're speaking about several issues, including transportation improvement districts. And, you know, I think we could certainly, with the, some of the extra focus we want on planning and trying to incorporate tools and implement the plan, something that TID could work well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were very interested in working with them then. We talked to them about it. And so I can't tell you the details of what Sussex County is doing with it, but I think that holds great promise for helping for some, not all, of course, of the transportation issues we've been having.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. I thought it was a very good presentation as well.
Thank you.
There was a slide, I think it was had to do with economic development, where it was Insight, I believe the other,
yes.
Christiana Care, was it Conca Plaza? And also included was the Route 9 Library.
I don't know if we put the route, yeah, well, we had to review the Route 9 Library.
It was okay.
It was part of that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess my concern is that in looking at economic development, that I personally feel that it has to be inclusive and that we need to be more comprehensive. And this is not a reflection on you at all or your department, but I think that just last week, council decided that we would not revisit to amend the responsible contract ordinance. So when you look at Route 9, the library, and usually when you look at economic development, it's what are we going to get in this jurisdiction as a build-out? Then what's going to be sustainable in terms of jobs? When you look at the Route 9 library, what's happening there is taxpayers' dollars, and 58% of it is going to another jurisdiction. So there's very little valuation for people who live here who are paying for it. And after it's built, how much return is it? Because it's going to be a service to the community. So I think that when we look at something like the Route 9 library, and we use it as an example of economic development, then you have to wonder, are we maximizing our economic development potential, or are we going to continue to have these types of programs? So personally, I'm encouraging the county executive to hold back on a lot of our projects until we find a way to stop so much of this money from going to other jurisdictions, until we find a way to make certain that more local people are being hired. Because to me, all the work that a lot of people are doing, it's sort of in vain if in fact that we're going to continue to allow this kind of a process to go forward, when in fact it's very clear that it's detrimental to the people who live in this county. So that's just a statement. When I see it here as economic development, then I look at the facts and the real numbers. Quite frankly, we're nowhere near maximizing our potential here. And then when we do other kinds of things, like give us as an example, a tax abatement for some major corporation, and we claim that to be economic development. At the same time, you got small businesses here in this county that we're putting impediments in the way of them participating in economic development. So that's just an issue I'm not going to give up on, but I just wanted to make a comment. When I see it here presented as one thing, and I have the facts from special services and so forth through monitoring this and say that, well, you know, this isn't quite what it could be. So
understand.
That's just comment.
I take that to be a return on investment type. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Councilmember Dillon.
I was just going to say, I think the work that you're doing with community services and vacancy issues is really important. I know that my older suburban communities along the Route 4 corridor, there are still large numbers of vacant properties kind of dragging down those communities. I think Councilman Cartier, you're in a similar situation. So anything that we can do to, you don't want to move things along to sheriff sale that might be creating problems for families who are living there, but on the other hand, some of this stuff has just been there for years, and anything you can do to move it along so we can get people in those houses and paying taxes, that would be a great thing.
Councilman Hollins.
On that same point, because Councilwoman Diller and I are both working with the department and community services as it relates to vacant properties. And this morning I had an opportunity to be with the county exec at the University of Delaware. And there is a whole lot of study at the university addressing the same issue. They've done some work with the city of Wilmington, and I think you're going to see what's coming forward is that now they're going to do an overlay for Newcastle County. All of our vacant properties, I'm probably saying this too early, but I know they're going to be coming to your department and land use department. But they're going to assist us going forward with addressing that property as well. And there's a wealth of information at UD regarding this issue.
There may be information, but we want action.
Well, the action is up to us, but I think they can give us a plan. As if, you know, any other place we go and we get these studies, if we don't act, if it's not shared with, you know, then it's up to us to make certain we pull the trigger. But they will provide us with information that they have.
If I could, Mr. Chair,
yes.
We're going to be jointly presenting, briefing the Community Services Committee next Tuesday.
Okay. So. Looking forward to that. I wanted to also say this compliment the department on this presentation. I think it was raised a lot of good issues, pointed the direction in which your department is going to be heading in this next year. And I think you kind of established a nice little model for other departments, perhaps. Maybe they should emulate the land use department. So all the professionals here, I'm complimenting you all. When it comes down to personnel, I'm very concerned in your department, of course, with code enforcement. And how are we doing with code enforcement? Are we hired up? Where? How many vacancies do we have in that division? That
specifically in code, I think we just got permission to fill one, and Jim is behind me.
Yep.
There you go, right behind me. How many?
So we're down two, and we understand that we've received permission to fill one. That's what we were told today. We're at the hiring stage, so we'll be doing a selective interview panel to choose from among the several very good candidates that interview for the position.
It's goes without saying, it's a frontline type of operation, and what goes on in code enforcement can directly affect quality of life in neighborhoods, so it's a very important workforce in your shop, and we want to make sure we've got enough staff to do the job, and certainly it's a tough job. And they, when they're working hard, they're earning their pay. And we can't say enough for them. And I appreciate my code officer, it's in my district. And I'm sure the other council members have, you know, a close working relationship with their code officer as well. All right. Councilman Tackett.
Yeah, just wanted to piggyback on your comments a little bit, Mr. Chairman, but I hope that, you know, you will be able to work with the administration and get permission to hire that second code officer, because that is absolutely just one department where, regardless of what you do or how you try to do it, the work is not going to decrease in there. It's only going to increase. So, especially as we bring on the larger communities that we have on the books over the canal and all. And also in... although it wasn't in your presentation, I hope that, you know, perhaps you may want to go back and look at talking with code, you know, perhaps in expanding that whole program and looking at what we're doing there, how we're issuing tickets, the amount of days in between re-inspections, and also, and I know I've talked to this with code and Haggerty and Jim for years about perhaps even increasing what we're out there actually ticketing for. You know, we only have like 10 right now that we can ticket for. You know, I mean, it's something that takes an exuberant amount of your time and effort and resources for, you know, everything else that's out there, as opposed to, you know, you being able to at least, you know, get back a little bit of what you're having to put out for this. So code's a huge issue.
It is. Yes.
Any other questions from members of council? I appreciate that you're having your division go up a little over 1% in the overall budget. So you're holding the line on cost as well in terms of your burden on the general fund. That's great. Any other questions, comments from members of council on today's budget presentation for our Department of Land Use for fiscal year 2018? We got a lot of members not absent, so we didn't have a quorum today. But I want to thank you for that. Any comments, questions, members of the public regarding the budget for land use. All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your presentation and the PowerPoint slides, and it's good work. Any no comments from the public? So I'd like a motion.
So move.
Motion. Second.
Yeah, never officially convened without saying.
You can't do that either. All right.
Done.
The land use budget meeting is over.
See you next Monday.